The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
And here we go, Digital Adele back with another Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast with my host, co-host, Matt Hanifin. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing outstanding, man. Can't wait to talk the Miami Heat in their 2024 NBA draft class. Before I do, just want to take care of some business here on YouTube. Don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast, the Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast. If you're the part of our audience that loves the video breakdowns, we're going to certainly be doing more of that. Up next should be the Arkansas Razorbacks and Boogie Fland. Be on the lookout for that video. Should be coming out sometime here this week. Also, don't forget to give us a follow or five-star review on the podcast side. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, even here on YouTube, anywhere that podcasts are found, don't forget to give us a shout out there. And you can also find us on Twitter. You'll be able to interact with us, say hello. My Twitter handle is Digital Adele. You can find me. I'm easy to find. As well as on Playback, we are contributors at Five Reason Sports on Playback. Doing all the Miami Heat content there with the Five Reasons crew. Matt, tell them where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
At MPH_824_, that's where you can find me on Twitter. If you want any of my written content, pothophoops.com, vendettasportsmedia.com, mountainwestconnection.com. I'm ready to jump into it, man.
Let's do it. Let's jump right into the Miami Heat 2024 NBA draft class. And we're going to talk about the person that every single Miami Heat fan around the world wants to talk about. And that's Isaiah Stevens, the undrafted. No, I'm just kidding.
Not Thomas Bryant.
Not Thomas Bryant. No, it's a different big man. It's a different big man, believe it or not, exists on the Miami Heat roster other than Thomas Bryant. It is none other than Kelo Ware, the 7-footer out of Indiana. Super athletic, super raw prospect, but he's got an excellent touch around the basket, has some promise on his touch shooting from deep, needs a little work on the mechanics there. But let's talk about him, get your thoughts on him, and then I'll fill in some of the gaps. So what are your thoughts on Kelo Ware?
He was one of the best players throughout Summer League, even though not everything was consistent on the court. Like the parts that I liked about him were also sometimes parts that I didn't like about him, was like the rebounding. There are definitely times where I loved his rebounding. I loved his activity on the offensive glass. But then, as you and I have discussed ad nauseum, a few, as well as some other guys, is He gets boxed out pretty easily sometimes, to where it's just like, all right, there shouldn't be a guy who's, you know, 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", boxing you out consistently. The touch, the shooting touch, the touch around the rim. Like, there were times where, you know, he's playing through contact and he's finishing above guys that he should be able to finish above. And then there's other times where, you know, the touch is inconsistent. And, like, that's more of, like, just hopefully you develop that with the more reps you get, the stronger you get over time. Like, him in the post, like, something that I want him to work on a lot. And that I think he's worked on a lot, you know, over the last 2 or 3 months since being drafted, is like his core strength, his lower body strength, just so he's able to get positioned better and maintain that position. His upper body strength, so he's able to play through guys, play through contact, because, you know, NBA players at his size, it's going to be a different level of physicality. Like, he's what, 7 foot, 240, 250. Like, there's going to be dudes who are much bigger and what, or even not, maybe they're not even as big as him, but they're just stronger than him, and they're more physical than him. And he's going to have to learn how to play through contact consistently for, you know, hopefully 25 minutes a night, maybe even 30 minutes a night, depending on his role in the future, you know, 5-10 years from now, if he's in Miami or not. And so that's something that I think he's going to be working on. Like, I liked his vertical spacing, like how, especially when he's playing with a guy like Isaiah Stevens. Like, you and I have also talked about this ad nauseum on and off air about how easy it is for Khalil Ware to get set up when he's playing with a guy like Isaiah Stevens. Like, he's so big. Ware, not Stevens. He's so big to where, like, you can just throw it up to him and he has, like, a good catch radius. Like, he's able to throw it down, maybe not throw it down right away, but, you know, jump stop, catch it, and then finish it over someone at the rim. And so, like, Isaiah Stevens has made Khalil Ware's life so much easier over time. But then, like, some of the other stuff that, like, defensively, again, it's like there's flashes there. There's certainly flashes with the shot blocking, with him playing in drop, you know, him breaking up lobs or whatever the case is, him getting in the passing lanes maybe. Like, but then there's also the times where, like, the effort, the disposition isn't always there. Like, there's a consistency issue with that. It's just, like, obviously over time you just want him to continue to stack reps together. But, like, you can see the flashes, the all-around flashes. Even the shot, like, he shot 30% or 20%. From three in summer league, he shot 3 of 15. Like, he was obviously way more effective when he was rolling to the rim, but, like, even his last year at Indiana, he shot, you know, 43% on significantly lower volume, but, like, I think his shot was just better than it was when he was at Oregon. And so, again, like, if you've just continued to mold his game, his all-around game over time, like, I think he could become a good player, but it's just a matter of him stacking it together, stacking the consistency. Like, if you can do it once this game, do it the next one, do it the next one, and just continue stacking those good days, stacking all those reps together, and then you have yourself, like, a solid player with a very, very good foundation and skill set. But it's just a matter of consistency at this point of his career, and I think we saw that throughout summer league, even though he was one of the best players, if not the best player, that we saw, at least from this rookie class.
Yeah, no doubt. Summer league, he played really well in spurts for the team. And for his talent level, his size and athleticism, especially, like you said, playing with a guard that can set him up like Isaiah Stevens, he was able to maximize his offensive ability in the paint because he was able to just get the ball where he could score easily. In college, you brought up his lack of, we'll say, willingness to do his homework early and box people out, or to not allow himself to be boxed out. You can get away with that in college, and I harped on that a lot coming out of the draft. However, if you looked up at the numbers when he was done, he still averaged like 17 and 10. Like, he still got to his numbers even with that low effort, and that's what the Heat are banking on, that sort of level of talent and athleticism. However, in the NBA, it's a little different. If you are, because he's only 230 pounds, he's not 240. You gave him even an extra 10. He's skinny, man, for being 7 foot tall. He's not going to be able to just out jump people and out long arm people. And one of the things that I think gets lost by not just regular fans, but just Heat fans in general, is how quickly decisions get made on the court, how quickly reads get made on the court. And so even though he's a big guy and he's athletic, if he's constantly setting moving screens, constantly out of body position, picking up cheap fouls, he's just going to be on the bench. It's not going to help you. And then your team's going to be in foul trouble. The other team's going to be shooting free throws early, and it's just hindering the team. So it's not that the Miami Heat don't think he has talent. It's not that the Miami Heat are enamored with Thomas Bryant's play. It's that he needs to continue to grow and develop at the NBA level when it comes to spacing, reading, reacting, effort, all those things. Even in transition defense, if he doesn't run the floor hard and he's not back in position to defend the rim, either he's not going to affect the play because he's just a shot blocker. It's not like he's going to break down and like face somebody up at the 3-point line. He's got to be back to defend the rim. If he's not giving that effort to get back, what's he going to do? He's going to foul. It's just one of those things. And I know people are like, but he's got to be better than Thomas Bryant. Athletically, yes, he is. Talent-wise, yes, he is. But all those little nuances that allow you to stay on the floor, he just doesn't have it yet. And that's okay. Nico didn't have it either, so it'll be fine. So I like Kello Ware's ceiling. Not so sure where his floor is, and that's what we're going to find out in the coming years. But I do like his touch overall. I do want to hit on his three-point shooting because you brought that up. His three-point shot, his form is kind of the issue. And he can't decide, like he's at this in-between phase where he wants to dip the ball really low and then bring it all the way back up. So ever since they tried to eliminate that, he's having a hard time finding that mechanic to be smooth. Because you need knee bend, you need your elbow in, your eye on a target, follow through high. You need that whole process to be one fluid motion. And when they're trying to eliminate that huge long dip that he has, it's just been mixed results for him. But again, that's a work in progress. That's something you want to work on in Sioux Falls. You don't want to work on that during the regular season. You saw in preseason how his shot looked. I mean, he was bricking. He made one. Like, he'll make one or two. But then the others are just, like, way off. And you're like, what are we doing? In fact, I believe it was on playback. We were like, we need to institute that rule where he just doesn't shoot threes at all and just rolls to the basket every play. And so if you're going to limit what your options are, especially in this new philosophy of five out, how are you going to, how's that spacing going to work with Kello Ware on the floor?
Is that a rhetorical question? Or?
No, that's a legitimate question. How would it work? If you took out Thomas Bryant as the backup center and you put Kello Ware, so think about this also. Jimmy Butler plays with that second unit. He also needs paint touches. So where is that? How's that spacing going to work? It just isn't.
Right, it's not.
Right.
You have to you have to utilize him as a screener.
You would have to utilize him as a screener, and he doesn't set screens very well.
Right.
He set screens with his shin.
Right, and something else that I wanted to point out to you about his form, like it feels like to me, maybe you have a different like look on this, but it feels like he tilts his body.
Yes.
Like he tilts it to the left, and that also can throw off, you know, accuracy, not long and short, but left to right in terms of like where the ball is going, especially if you're either your lower half or your upper half isn't consistent. And when it's not consistent, that even worsens the problem. It's definitely a work in progress. And yeah, I definitely remember saying like, all right, he needs the Thomas Bryant. Like, you can shoot threes in the preseason, but not in the regular season. But I also just saw Thomas Bryant take a step back three with like 8 seconds left on the shot clock last night. And so who am I kidding?
He pump faked the guy.
To say there's any sort of Thomas Bryant treatment. Or rule in instituted and yeah.
Thomas Bryant pump faked the guy first, then did a step back.
I can't believe I've watched that clip at least like 10 times today. I can't believe it. It's unbelievable. It's hilarious. It's so funny.
It's hilarious, man. It's one of the that whole, like, you could put a compilation together of Thomas Bryant's play of that game, and it would just be one comedy reel. Like, it's so funny. The dunk from half, like, at the half where there was, like, 1.2 seconds left.
at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, the end of the first quarter. Oh, my God, was that hilarious. And then to get
blocked.
No
more Thomas Bryant talk for the rest of the show.
I promise. I won't. Oh my goodness. Actually, I got one more. No, I'm just kidding. Let's talk about the second round pick, shall we? Let's talk about one Pelle Larsson. He seems to be the most likely to get minutes out of the rookies and the undrafted on the Miami Heat at some point in the season. It won't be anytime soon, though, because not only is he not, are they playing 9 or 10 in the rotation already, Josh Richardson just came back. And that's another wing. And that's where Pelle would fit. Now, just to give some backstory for people that may have not been watching my draft coverage, may not have watched preseason or summer league, Pelle Larsson played at Arizona. He's a 6'6 shooting guard / forward, if you're inclined to positions. And he's a sharpshooter. I mean, he's a knockdown shooter from the outside, plays really well out of the triple threat, has a nice feel for the game when the shooter, pass, or drive. He'll rebound super physical offensively and defensively, willing to pick up 94 feet, stick his nose in there, rebound, and he's not afraid of the big moment. Miami Heat, summer league champions, game winners galore. Yeah, awesome player. I really like Pelle Larsson. What are your thoughts on Pelle Larsson?
Just to give you, like, he has a long, there's a long pecking order for him to climb, for him to get minutes. But I am with you. I do think he's the most likely to get more minutes. Like, if you were to ask me who to get more minutes between Larsson and Ware during the regular season, I would probably be inclined to say Larsson. It's not like a big gap one way or the other. But, like, he's got a, you know, Alec Burks, obviously, Jimmy, Hero, Highsmith, Hawkins, depending on how you feel about, you know, where Keshawn Johnson is. Like, I think they're probably on this, like, on a similar pecking order to some extent. Richardson, Duncan, Jovic to some extent. Like, there's a long list of guys that, I mean, obviously he's not going to be playing, like, the four all the time or anything like that. But just to get, like, consistent minutes, like, obviously injuries can happen over an 82-game season. We've certainly seen that with the Heat. But he's got a long pecking order to climb for him to get consistent minutes. And he did struggle in preseason. Like, it's fair to say that, like, there were times where he wasn't put maybe in the best context. I mean, yeah, he sometimes made, you know, lemonade out of lemons, but, like, there weren't very good lemons, you know what I mean? Like, and so, like, he struggled in preseason, but just his overall game, like, the shooting, the playmaking, the defense that we saw, like, he's a very good glue guy. Like, you could look at the statistics when he was at Arizona and you could be a little bit, it's a little bit deceiving just because, like, he didn't light up the stat sheet or whatnot when he was at Arizona, but he was such a good glue guy. Like, he was such a good, like, he connected it. He gelled the units together, with his, again, his shooting. Like, he was, you know, 40% 3-point shooter his what? Entire career when he was at Arizona, or at least for most of his career. He was a really good passer, like a secondary playmaker that, you know, he can, he can get it off the catch at the wing or whatnot, create when he's off the bounce. He can, you know, he can connect. He's good in the pick and roll. Like, he knows how to throw passes and, like, the velocity, the type of pass. He can make skip passes, all that. And then with his defense, like, he was someone you could see right away from summer league that how he was, you know, picking dudes up 94 feet. Like, his body, his balance was something that stood out to me defensively, like, his, and something that we've talked about too, you and I and others before, his contact balance, just like, whether it's offensively or defensively, like, he has very good contact balance. Like, he's not going to get pushed off his spot very easily when he's either driving to the lane or when he's defending someone in space one-on-one. Like, he's very good with his hands too. He knows how to play the passing lanes. Like, he can do a little bit of everything for you. And that's just something that I really appreciate with him. Like he's the master of all, he's the jack of all trades, master of none. But even then, like, he's an exceptional shooter, to your point.
Absolutely.
And so like that, he was someone that I liked a lot, but he did struggle throughout the preseason. I don't think it's going to be right away. He may spend some time in Sioux Falls, like where possibly. And so like, I'm very interested to see like what his role becomes, you know, once December, January, February arrive. Because I do feel like at some point he's going to get minutes and he's going to, you know, he's going to impress some people, but I don't think it's right away, to your point.
No, absolutely. And one of the things that I think, you know, they were trying to see is they threw him out in preseason to let him handle the ball against NBA ball pressure. And that's where he really struggled. He's not a primary ball handler. He really needs to work on that in the offseason. And that was one of the things that I thought made him struggle so much in the preseason, is they had him handling the ball quite a bit as like a de facto PG, you know, offensive initiator type guy. Give me one second here. And yeah, so I guess let me ask you this question. Let's do this. What does Kello Ware have to do?
Hey, football fans. BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride, prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Business taxes. We're stressing about all the time and all the money you spent on your taxes.
This is my bill?
Now Business Taxes is a TurboTax small business expert who does your taxes for you and offers year-round advice at no additional cost, so you can keep more money in your business. Now this is taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com/business. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service.
To see the floor for the Miami Heat in the 2024 NBA season.
Defend consistently.
I'll take it a step further. I say defend consistently, give effort, and defend without fouling consistently. Like, that's the big thing. Yep. Not committing silly fouls consistently. I think if he does those things, the rebounding, the finishing in the paint, I think, yeah, all that stuff he can do right away. But I agree with you. Those are the things I think he has to be able to do. And not just play drop. I don't think he can get on the floor playing primarily drop. He's got to at least be able to play at the level without fouling either.
Okay. I didn't expect you to say that. I mean, I don't know, but I'd have to think about that more.
Who on the Miami Heat plays primarily drop?
Well, right. You want to be scheme versatile if you're the Miami Heat, but...
Right.
I think Thomas...
Thomas Bryant doesn't even play primarily drop.
No, I was going to say Thomas, I think, is more mobile.
Yeah. But I don't think mobility is an issue for Ware.
I think they'll start Ware and mostly drop, and then, you know... As he improves with that, like, then he progresses. I mean, I don't think they're going to, like, they're not going to.
But I don't think they put him on the floor, though, if he can't do more than that.
Maybe. It just depends on the personnel. Like, I think.
Yeah.
Because even then, like, I don't think they were. They did this his first year here, but they blitzed Kevin a lot.
Yeah.
And the results with that were bad.
Right.
And so, like, I think just in my head when I'm thinking of, like, all right, Kalo, where's potential defensively? Like, obviously there's a court awareness aspect to it too, but I do think they do play a steady dose of zone. And that's where I think he's playing primarily drop.
So to get on the floor this year, he has to be able to play drop, and he's going to have to be able to have enough awareness to play in zone. Those are two things for him to get on the floor defensively, is what you mean.
I think that's if he can do it consistently, sure. That there's no, you know, guarantee that happens, but I think
right.
If that happens, there's obviously a higher likelihood that he plays again. For me, it's just hard to see him playing over Kevin.
I agree with that 100%.
At least a little bit.
But I mean, I could see Kevin Love taking veteran days off, though. I could see Kevin getting back-to-backs off, things like that. So
maybe.
So the real question is, what does he have to do to play over Thomas Bryant?
Not shoot a step back.
I think it's those things you mentioned. You hit on those. Play defense, play it without fouling. He's going to play drop and be able to play in the zone without being out of position.
The zone stuff does terrify me a little bit when I say that out loud.
Yeah, because his awareness isn't great.
I don't think he does.
His awareness isn't great. If you just think of any penetration that happens and then they just kick it, you know what I mean? Like, he's going to be lost, dude.
I just think he's a big enough body to where they can get away with him starting in deep drop. Semi-deep drop.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's a little bit different if he was, like, you know, 6'10".
For sure, it would be different. Yeah,
measurables. I think they can get away with it, even though I think they want to work him up to, like, you know, playing at the level. And
correct. That's where ideally they want him to be. Yeah, that's ideally where they want him to be, is to be able to switch off and be able to play in space a little bit, not be locked down or anything, but just be able to contest without fouling. I don't know. It's going to be tough. That's why I said I don't see him getting on the floor. If he does, not until, like, late in the second half of the year. Like, I just don't see it. Whenever the Sioux falls, when the Sioux falls season is over and he's just, you know, on the bench. What about Larson? What do you think has to happen? Because you already went through all the people he has to climb over. Is it just injuries for him? Because I think he's ready to play now. I just thought it would have to be just injuries or a trade or... Something would have to free up for him to be able to get minutes. I don't think it's him related specifically.
Yeah. I mean, like, to your point earlier, like, the ball handling, if they just want to see, like, you know, him in practice, him consistently, handling the ball well when he's in space or when he's, you know, getting to the lane or stuff like that, handling the ball pressure. So they feel comfortable enough with him to where he's not, you know, making simple turnovers.
Right.
And I say simple turnovers, I mean like getting stripped or whatnot.
Exactly. Yep.
Like, I feel like they want to see more of that from him, I guess, if you're just looking from like a development standpoint. And then obviously just, I know he can do this, but like just consistently defend. Like, I feel like the defending and then obviously the knockdown shooting, like those are tickets to get you on the floor, especially defense, you know, in a Miami Heat context, because, you know, they are now preaching this, you know, five out pace and space kind of offense, even if they don't, you know, always rely on that with like the Jimmy mid post touches or the Jaime mid post touches or whatever the case is. Like, you want to know how to space the floor and you don't want to know obviously how to defend multiple positions. And I don't think he can't do that. Like, we've seen him do it multiple times
for sure.
But I think it's just in an NBA context specifically, him just doing it consistently in practice and, you know, putting that work in and continuing to improve in the areas he's already good at, in addition to improving areas he may be deficient at, like the ball handling. Like, I think that's what's going to get him on the floor consistently, in addition to the injuries. Like, Eric Spoelstra has a good problem at his hands, and like, we may see him for, you know, spot minutes. Like, he's even said before, like, yeah, he's going to use his depth to his advantage. Like, we saw on Saturday night, Haywood Highsmith get DMP CE. Like, it wasn't hurt or anything like that. He just didn't crack the 9-10 man. And I think there might be a night where, or I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen in the near future or whatnot. It just depends on how everything shakes out. But there might be a night where it's just like, okay, yeah, he's getting minutes over a guy like Alec Burks for one reason or another. Like, I can't tell you the reason why that would happen, but I feel like there's a night where it could happen. May not be consistent. So if you're just looking for, if you're asking like, all right, how is he going to do it consistently?
Correct. Like, consistently be in the rotation.
Yeah.
Right.
Then I think it's got to be injuries. And I don't, I'm not wishing an injury on anyone.
I got you.
And it's just the unfortunate situation that he's been being placed in, but I don't think he's going to take it as a slight or anything like that. He's just on the outside looking in, I feel like he's going to continue to work and continue to get better. And you have to earn the trust of Eric Spoelstra. Not that he doesn't have it already. Eric Spoelstra called him a plug and play player, but he is
unprompted. He unprompted called him a plug and play player.
Right. But like, exactly, I feel right. Like, again, Eric Spoelstra has a really good problem at his hand. And so over the course of an 82 game season, that's going to, you know, figure itself out.
I agree. And I think
he does find himself in that 10 man by the end of the season. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good problem to have. And I think, outside of injury, the only other way is if a trade is made and it consolidates the roster a bit, because depth is nice, but I don't think this team is just content with depth. If they can get a major piece by the trade deadline, or if they feel they have to shake up the roster, I think that would be another path. Cause once you start getting into trades, you shrink the roster a bit and, you know, you're already familiar with Pella, what he can do and how he can fit in with other players. So those are the only two likely paths I see this season for him as well, just because of how deep they are. And Spoelstra's already going 9 and 10 man deep. So it's tough sledding for those two guys. Let's pivot. We don't do this for most teams, but we're going to do it for the Miami Heat because it's our bread and butter. It's what we talk about all the time. It's our contributing to Five Reasons Sports. So we live and breathe not just NBA draft picks, but the Miami Heat specifically. So this is kind of more for the Miami Heat audience. If you're national audience, by no means, you don't have to turn it off. We want you to stay, like, subscribe, follow, all those good things. But we're going to talk the undrafteds, because I feel like around the league, Miami is known for their undrafteds. And their undrafted this year are just outrageous. I mean, I know everybody was saying the 2023 draft, not that good. It's okay. Still the 2024 draft.
Yeah, it was 24, not
23. Yeah, the 2000. I was like, wait, that's the Jaime draft. I was like, everybody's like, it's not great. It's the worst draft of all time and blah, 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 blah. they're going to look back and they're going to turn out and be like, oh, wow, there's some significant players that were in this draft.
They only look at the top five players when they say that,
though. That's true. That's a good point.
Sure, it's a flat draft, but like Tristan Da Silva going 18.
Yeah, it's outrageous.
Buck Carrington going 14.
He's starting? Started every game this season so far? Yeah.
Ryan Dunn going 28.
Who knew? Ryan Dunn the sniper. No one saw that one coming.
I'll save that for the Suns part.
It's coming up soon.
Yeah, it's coming up in the near future. But that's I'll save right. that for the Suns episode.
Steph Castle playing significant minutes for the Spurs. Yeah, it's an outstanding draft. Edie
Zach
started.
Edie playing for the no.
He has. He started every, like almost every game. He started. He hasn't played particularly well. And well, he keeps like fouling out.
A half serious question.
Like 15 minutes a game because he's in foul trouble. Like by the time like the second quarter arrives.
Beautiful.
Like last game, he overcorrected. He had no fouls, but he had no shot blocks and like three rebounds. Like.
Eve Misi,
that's my guy. Yeah,
he's been awesome with New
absolutely
Orleans.
Awesome. Yeah, he's playing significant minutes for the Pelicans.
Blocking every shot comes.
Blocking,
away.
He's been blocking shots. Competitive on the boards, finishes in the lane. I like the guy, man. But yeah, so our point is, this is a deeper class than people gave it credit for, and to get. Keshad Johnson, the Miami Heat get Keshad Johnson as an undrafted player that we wanted in the second round. We get the Miami Heat get him undrafted. This guy in summer league has been excellent. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything better. His on-ball defense has actually been excellent. His in transition defense, the hustling, his standing people up with his long arms. Surprise people. He's gotten so many deflections without even jumping, just putting his long arms up. It's been unreal. And we're not even getting into his highlight package dunks. Talk to me a little bit about Keshad Johnson. Showtime.
The way that I liked to describe him before the draft was like he was like a 6'10 or not 6'10.
He's not 6'10.
I was not 6'10. Like a 6'7 linebacker.
Yes.
But he's so unbelievably athletic, too. Like, not that linebackers aren't athletic, no doubt. But I'm just saying, like, he's so unbelievably, like, vertically gifted.
Yes.
With his athleticism. His jump shot was broken when it was at San Diego State. It got a lot better his last year at Arizona. We actually saw, like, solid glimpses of that in Summer League. Like, he shot 38.9% in Summer League. He had a few like pull-up mid-range jumpers that were really nice that I just did not expect to see from him at all because he doesn't have a good handle nor a tight handle. No. But everything else, like his on-ball defense, his off-ball defense, like he just completely popped off the page just because of where he – there's times where he's, you know, 3-4 places at once it feels like when he's playing defense in addition to, you know, what he can do in transition. Like he runs the floor exceptionally well. He's a very good play finisher when he's around the rim. Like he was just someone that I liked a lot. And I can't believe he went undrafted.
That's yeah, just unbelievable that he went undrafted.
Yep. Because if it's just obviously like the shooting, you wanted to know if it was, there's obviously questions like, okay, whether that's going to translate like a 1-year wonder type deal when he was at Arizona, like how is that going to translate? But like the physical traits, the athletic traits, like, all of that stuff just completely popped off the page.
The versatility.
Yeah, in addition to what he can do defensively, like, again, I'm not going to bash any single guy on here, but, like, I can't believe he just went undrafted. I can't.
Yeah, it is mind-boggling for the amount of defense, transition, offense that he gives you, the rim pressure, the all the intangibles, the hustle, the heart, like, all of it. He actually reminds me of a more athletic Alex Highsmith. Is actually what he reminds me of.
Because Alex Highsmith? Haywood Highsmith?
Alex Highsmith is the football player for my Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Who won last night.
I was thinking Haywood Highsmith too, but I was like, Alex.
Haywood Highsmith. Yeah, it's a Haywood Highsmith. Sorry. I'm still I'm still basking in the glow of my Steelers win last night. All right. But yeah, Haywood Highsmith, he reminds me of a more athletic Haywood Highsmith. The shooting concerns and the shaky handle, all of that, but more athletic and just a dog, man. His jump shot's kind of Draymond Green-esque, like he's got a backpack on. And so that's kind of the issue. That's kind of the issue with his jump shot. But it has gotten better. Even in preseason, he would shoot an air ball and then come back and start making his shots. I don't know if it's because he wasn't warmed up, if he needs to be a starter or, you know, for him to be comfortable, but dude would shoot an air ball and then come back and swish his next ones. So I think there's progress. I think he's got room to improve. But one thing I can tell you, Sioux Falls is going to be lit this year. Holy crap.
Yeah, baby.
Sioux Falls is going to be lit.
Oh, yeah.
One Isaiah Stevens will be there. Pella Larson Correct. Will be there. Keshad Johnson will be there.
Warren Washington will be there.
Who?
Warren Washington.
I know.
That joke went right over my head. I saw that second time.
I saw that. Wait. There it is.
Yeah, where's the there's the sound bite. Soundboard.
There's the soundboard. That's right. So Sioux Falls is going to be great. These guys are going to be. So more undrafted. Isaiah Stevens, are we going to talk about him? Because he didn't get a two way. Do we want to talk Josh Christopher's two way? I don't think so. He's not a draft pick.
Josh Christopher's not a rookie. He's been in the league 3 years.
Exactly. So I think we're done here. Let me ask you this. Around the league, what stood out to you this week around the NBA?
Again, we're saving the Ryan Dunn portion for the Phoenix Suns podcast.
we'll save the Ryan Dunn. All right. So that's all that stuck out to you. Okay, cool.
The single thing
is just Ryan Dunn.
It's just Ryan Dunn.
All right, man. Well, I tell you what, we're going to get out of here on that. Before we do, just don't forget to like and subscribe, people. It really helps us out. If you want to become a channel member here on YouTube, get access to all this content early, as soon as it's recorded and out, make sure you become a channel member. Super easy. Only $2.99 to do that. If you want to follow us on Playback for the Miami Heat content, that's playback.com/5RSN. I'll still do some breakdowns, even though Playback's being kind of weird about the college basketball games. You can follow me at playback.tv/hoopsprofile and follow Matt, man. Get Matt's content to pop. Where can they find you, Matt?
At @NPH_824_hothoops.com, VendettaSportsMedia.com, MountainWestConnection.com, watchplayback.tv /5RSN. I did say #5RSN this time.
Hey, he's learning.
I'm making progress, just like Khloe Ware and Pelle Larson will be in the coming weeks, days, months, however you want to phrase
it. I thought you were going to say like Thomas Bryant's jump shot.
There's no progress on that thing. No.
So I saw a tweet from the Miami Heat, and it was at MPH, and I was like, I did a double take. I was like, oh wait.
Yeah, I did say that.
I was like, that's not the full name. That's not it.
Come on, man. Come on, Miami Heat. If you're listening to this, man, hit my line, man.
I'm telling you, PR interns, do not be afraid to at me and Matt Hanifin.
No.
I mean, we will blow up that tweet, I promise.
100%.
But yeah, that is it for today, guys. I'll see you next time.
It's the new year, time to make a positive change in your life.
I went to My Computer Career because I needed job security.
Because I wanted a career in cybersecurity.
I went to My Computer Career because IT jobs are everywhere.
My old job was going nowhere.
I went because I didn't want college loans for the rest of my life.
Because I wanted a career for the rest of my life.
Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Financial aid available for qualified students, including the GI Bill. 529 college savings plans accepted. Not available in Washington State.